But how are you guys? Great. How was your break? Good. What are some of the things that you did? Sleep. Okay. Good time to catch up on sleep. Travel, where'd you go? Oh, okay. To be with your Maddie there? Okay. Is that a nickname she gives you, Matt? No. Alright, can I move this stuff? Whoever's leading. Great. Here's my sunglasses. Well, you know, I thought I could just talk to you guys today about, we're starting a new series called Seeing God. And, you know, when you guys think about seeing God, I don't know what you think about, but one of the things I just really think about is dependency on God. Because I don't know if you realized it or not, but that's a requirement that God has if we're going to see Him more in our lives, is that we get what it means to be dependent on Him. And that's what I want to talk to you guys today about. And we're going to kind of just kick off the semester with a series on this, about seeing God, and even primarily in, for the most part, about what it means to be dependent on God. And, you know, it's that kind of time of year where we think about New Year's resolutions, right? Did you guys set those? Did you know? You didn't? Who set New Year's resolutions? What was yours? A what? Start a diet. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Not wine as much. Okay. Anything else? I didn't set any. I just thought I'd ask you guys. But yeah, you know, it's just kind of that time of year, and we thought about as NLCF year, when we thought about this year, one of the things we really thought about just as leaders here was that, you know, we don't want our walks with God, and hopefully we can somehow all do this together, to be like we think of New Year's resolutions. And New Year's resolutions aren't bad, they're very good. In fact, you know, I mean, they're just great to have. But sometimes we can take that same thing in a relationship with God, where we look out on our life with God and we think, well, for me to really have and see God in my life, well, there's something I got to fix through my good behavior. And you know, that's something God doesn't want in our life. And it's called self-sufficiency. This attitude with God that we can see Him in our lives in our own strength, in our own way, through our good behavior fixes. I hope you guys can connect with what I'm talking about. And so as we just thought about this year, we thought we'd love to just invite you to really take some steps of dependence on God, where if you really want to see God in your life, you won't make it about a good behavior fix, but about dependent on His power to do the things in your life that He promises to do. And I, you know, this couldn't be weirder for me, how this has come about for me. Because I literally am standing here talking to you in a dependent state. this is going to sound weird, and I just really feel like God really laid it on my heart to tell you. But Friday, as I was preparing for this, I really felt like, you know, I was sitting down and I was like, God, I want to talk to people about depending on You. And God just, it's kind of one of those moments where I just felt really convicted by God. And as I was preparing, I thought, the kind of thought came to my mind that, am I really dependent on Him that when I speak, lives will be changed? And I think this is something He's really wanted to do in my life for a long time. And sometimes when I speak, I just spend a lot of time in planning and preparation. And I thought about that, and as I was talking to God about this, I really realized that my motive was more of distrust in Him, that I needed to prepare so much so that I could control whether he was going to change another life or not. And really the motive behind it too was that I would rely on my own strength instead of his. And I've done that so much so that I even broke some real commitments that I made to my family. And Friday night, as I thought about Saturday, Saturday is usually reserved for my time with my kid and my wife. And it was going to be another time where I was going to break that commitment to prepare for a teaching. And God just said, don't. And I wasn't at all ready to come up here and talk to you guys, but I knew that my role was to follow. And so I just said, God, I'm not going to prepare anymore. I'm going to somehow, some way, trust your spirit to speak to people. And I just really felt like God wanted me to share that with you guys. There's no way to get around that. You're going to see that this isn't a very prepared talk. I just ask you for your grace to look beyond that, to really believe with me that God can speak to us. He doesn't need me to sit and plan it to death. And I just ask you to trust. This talk is for me as much as it is for you. And that's what God helped me realize when I was preparing for this. And so I literally come up to you with this, totally unprepared. Now I say that, and it might scare you, and you might think, well, this is going to seem crazy. But I really feel like there's some things God wants me to share, and I'll do it to the best of my ability. So I just thought God wanted me to tell you guys that, and so I did. And so I want to talk to you about dependence on God, but I thought before we could get started, we could just pray. If we're really trusting Him to speak to us, let's just come to Him, you know? I wish we could all just fall on our knees, but we can't do that, and that would be too weird. But let's ask Him to come. Lord God, I just thank You for Your reality in our lives, Lord. And God, Lord, we want You to speak to our hearts, God. Probably for some of us, we're just kind of sick and tired, God, of being just on this plateau with You, God. And maybe like me, as I was sharing about when I speak to people, I just have felt this pull on my heart that lives really aren't being changed, and You've helped me see that it's because I'm doing it in my own strength. God, maybe, I don't know that it's speaking that other people here might be dealing with that plateau, God, but it's the same thing that we need. We need Your power in our lives to really do the things You want to do. It's not about us, God. I can't work hard enough to get You to change someone's heart. I can't twist Your arm. It's got to be because Your power did it from start to finish. And the same with people here, God. Salvation, just the first step of having a relationship with You. How often we just forget, God, that it had nothing to do with what we did. It was utterly that we were dependent on Your unmerited love for us, despite our sins, God. It was Your power from start to finish. And I feel like a lot of times in our walk with You, we drift from that all the time, God. And as we look out on this new year, God, I believe, and maybe I'm putting words in their mouths, God, I just believe that You want us to really know what it means to see You in our lives. And we just have to accept that the way that that is that we can't work hard enough. It's got to be because we're dependent on You, God. I just ask that You speak to our hearts. God, we just ask You to come. In Your Son's name, amen. So I just want to ask you guys a question. What comes to your mind when I see... You're going to see the unpreparedness here. Okay. But what comes to your mind when you think about being dependent? What is an image that, like, just kind of captures you about what it means to be dependent? Does anyone care? Okay. Trust what? trust in God's timing? That's good. Huh? A baby? That's really good. She's a mom, isn't it? Okay. Sure. Huh? Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Like your health insurance ID. Yeah, that's a good one, huh? You feel what it means to be dependent, don't you? That's a great one. I've never done that. I like to do it. So, I thought, oh, did you want to go? What's that? I didn't hear the last part, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Sure. That's a good point. We were meant to need him. You know, I think I might have told a lot of you this story. I don't care that I'm repeating it. it's a good illustration for me about what it means to be dependent. And when you'll never understand this unless you become a dad or a mom, but God does give you fresh illustrations of what it means to walk with him. Just one of the things, I don't know if you, but just with my life, I didn't come to Christ until I was 17 years old, but I had ample opportunity. I can just think probably more than on a handful of times, I was explained very clearly about the gospel and how to come to Christ through my family and through church and through friends. And I never wanted to because of pride. And I never wanted to take God up on what it meant to walk with him. And that meant that I give my life away to him. And I become dependent. You know, I had kind of my own will, my own desires, and that's what was I allowed to keep me from it. And, you know, with my son, I know that God is going to, at some point in his life, call him to walk with him. And, you know, I want him, when that happens, to kind of already understand God's requirement of dependency, to where it's not a huge stretch for him to say, I give my will over to you, God. And I don't want him pushing God away like I did. I have no guarantees. God does not guarantee me that that will happen. But to the best of me and his mom's ability, we want to train him on what it means to be somewhat, not self-sufficient, but somewhat kind of to get a picture of what it means to be dependent. So that when God calls, he just kind of gets it. And he's like, well, why wouldn't I? And I don't know that that'll happen, but that's our prayer, and we want to do our part in seeing that happen. So he actually developed, I started to see his kind of self-sufficient thing come out in him. And I know that we all got it, right? You know, and this thing about certain people you just tend to push away. Like, sometimes maybe our parents, you know, like, we don't want any more advice, mom and dad. We push it away, but. You know, he started developing this thing where when he did not want us, he would push us. And I prayed about it. I felt like God really wanted me to work on breaking that in him. And so we did this thing where when he would do it, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you ever have kids or if you do, that this is something you should do, but we just felt God was leading us to do it. We would just grab him when he would push, and we would hold him, and we would let him go. And it was really tough because he didn't like it. And he cried, and he cried. And his mom really couldn't do it. I did it upstairs with him because he would let out some screams. But what was really cool, after a while of doing this, he got it. And he would get to a place where he would just start to push. And when I grab him, he knew what it meant. And he quit pushing, and he'd stick his head on my shoulder and set his stone. And he just let me hold him for a while. And it was a real fresh picture of me and what God wants with us, with him. And sometimes our self-sufficient life just pushes him away where he really wants us to be dependent. You know, one of the things that we just sat down recently, we thought, well, what do we want in our son? And, you know, we want him to be embraceive of the advice of other people. You know, we want certain things to where in his life he isn't self-reliant. We want him in hardship to persevere, not out of his own strength, but because he knows that God can get him through it, and that God's bigger than the circumstances that can come into his life. And so we've thought about often the certain things that we want to do to train that in him. I think we have to think that way for ourselves too. How is God trying to train in us this dependent life in him? And I want to make a couple of points about why. You know, I thought about, you know, I know it might be vague when I say dependence on God, and you might say, well, what do I do, right? What do I do to be dependent? That's what you think. And I just didn't really want to make this about, well, go out and pray, go spend some time in your Bible. I think, like, we know certain things that God wants us to do, and I certainly would love to talk to you about more of that stuff, but I really wanted to address the main thing of why God wants us there, dependent on him. I just want to make a few points about why I think he wants that. And the first is, we really cannot handle life without God. I know a lot of times that we think we can, but we really can't. I'd like to look, if I could, at David's life. And you can follow along with me if you like on that outline I provided. But do you? I mean, if none of you have ever read the story of David and Goliath, it's really good, because the key to the story is Goliath was a giant problem for David that he knew he could not handle on his own. And I think that's the illustration for us, that there will be giant problems and circumstances in our life that we're crazy if we think we can handle them without God. And David, when he was about, and just think, I don't know if you know this, but when David was the only one that stepped up to the challenge of Goliath that day. And so they let him go, but one of the things they did is they put Saul's armor on him. But he was so tiny it didn't fit, and it just must have been embarrassing, you know? Like, here I am, this tiny guy, people are laughing at me. And he really was ridiculed for thinking he could beat Goliath. And I want you to see into his heart about what he said. And it's on your outline there. The Lord who saved me from the claws of the lion and the bear will save me from this Philistine. He just had this confidence that when God put that giant in his life, based on what God had been doing and cultivating in his life in the past, that God would surely save him from this as well. And that's the confidence I think God wants us to have. And, you know, there's all kinds of problems that we'll face that we can't handle alone. And I you know, I can't just, I know that you know that, but some of you, God forbid that this happened, but some of you will not get married in the time frame that you think you should have. And that will be hardship that God never meant for you to face without him. Some of you might endure, I think the statistic is 1 out of 3 of us if we get married, we'll deal with infertility. I'm one of the three. I've already dealt with that in my life. And I can tell you from going through it that we could not handle it without God and in our own strength. And I would just, maybe it's something smaller than that, but it's still I shouldn't say smaller. It's just still monumental to you that you've just kind of noticed that you can't handle in your own strength. And I just want to talk to you about kind of the definition of circumstances God puts us in that are like that. And I think the greatest definition for me is things that he kind of we're dealing with that we just can't run away from. You know that feeling that no matter how far I run or hide, it's going to come back. It's going to be a problem that I can't avoid. I think sometimes we do. We escape it. I mean, we run, we hide, but we all know deep down we can't avoid this. It's always going to be with us. And then just as we look ahead, maybe at the future, we just don't know how we're going to be able to handle it. I think that's just the kind of thing that I'm talking about. And I got a real fresh picture of that kind of situation and how much we need God through my wife recently. And I just want to share with you that story. As you know, Lisa, she's with Ethan, our son, all day. And I know that some of you, unless you have kids, like, I thought about, should I come up with a better example? I just can't. This is kind of my life. And if you don't have kids, you might not be able to understand. But let me just tell you, it can be really exhausting to day. And you might think, well, you know, if you have a kid and you stay home with them, you don't work, so it's an easier life. But it really isn't. It is very exhausting. In fact, like days that I'm with him alone, by 3 o'clock, we just have this joke. I got to give him over to her because it's tiring. I mean, it wears you out. But she was just kind of hitting the wall because he's in this stage where he doesn't sleep very much right now. And he's very active. So you can't just kind of sit down with him in the living room and do your own thing while he's doing his own thing. And it's just that pull on you of, I don't have much me time anymore because I chose to be a mom. And Lisa was really struggling with this. And I think deep down in her heart, she felt like God wasn't pleased with her. Because good moms don't feel this way, right? And it got very hard for her to think about facing the day because, as like I said, by definition, she can't just run. You can't leave your kids, right? So she couldn't avoid the problem. And as she looked ahead, she didn't know how she's going to be able to endure it. For a while, you know, she really tried to handle it in her own strength. And she developed the thing that we always do. You know, we good behavior fix what's going on in our spiritual life. And we think, God, you know, we just got to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and take it in stride and be a good person, right? You guys do that? And it just got to a point with her where she realized that that was just a manifestation of her being a mom in her own strength. And God wasn't displeased with her. He wanted to meet her need for him where she was at. And I love that about God. God has this way, and I love this quote by Tim Elmore. He sees with his heart. He looks through our faults into our needs. And Lisa, she didn't need someone to come across and tell her. She just needed to get her act together. She needed her need to be met in God where she was at. And she came across, you know, one of the things is where she is in her house. You know, it's kind of like your workspace if you're a mom. And I don't know about you guys, but when I'm in my work, do you have kind of your workspace? But like I have an office at home, and it's very hard for me to think to have time with God there because I think about all the things that need to be done. You know that feeling? And she really just had to put her faith that God would speak to her despite that feeling. And as she just knew she needed God to really come through for her, she had a time with God real quick and hoping that God would speak to her, and he did. And I just want to share the verse that she came across in Isaiah with you. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 10. Said, yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in all his glorious power. He will rule with awesome strength. Let me do this. I like the way it says better. I should have had this written down, but as you can see, I didn't spend a huge amount of time. I'm not where I need to be. There we go. Okay. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. This is the part I want you to focus on. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And God just really spoke to her that through this time of her being a mom, that God was compassionate to her needs. And he was gently leading those who have known. And that's just really something she needed to hear from him. God promises to give us strength when we need it. And he didn't mean for us to deal with it on our own. And no amount of telling ourselves we need to just be better Christians works. Let me read this to you. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that's God's promise to us. That when life presents itself in a way that we can't handle it alone, he will give us strength. And I think self-sufficiency, it's kind of our alcoholism. Isn't it? It's our crutch with God. And I just really believe he wants to break us of that. And there's something I'd just like you to pray about, just as an action step in your life. I'd like you just to pray about not trying to good behavior fix your problems with God. That he never meant for you to face on your own. The other thing I want to share with you about why, dependency, and one thing I think we really need to hear more of is that God just doesn't share quarterback position. Quarterback position, why is that so great? Right? Because the quarterback always gets the glory. You never see like the media coming up to the tackle and say, man, that was such a great game, but it just doesn't happen. The quarterback gets the glory. And God just doesn't share it with us. And I just want to tell you a story just from my own life when God began to work on me about this. But I had started out in ministry, and one of my first things that I did was I started support raising for our income. And I was kind of carrying over into ministry what I had always done, just kind of relied on my own strength and ability to do things. And God was showing me very quickly that just was not going to work here. But it didn't change me fighting him on it. And I just remember I started out support raising, and I had this goal, and I got off to a great start. I think I raised close to 40% of my income in the first 2 months. And I went to this conference, and I just think about it now, and I kind of laugh at myself. But it's one of those times where you get together with all your support-raising chums who are doing it with you, and I just felt really good about myself. I was like, I'm stoking it up here, and this ain't going to be nothing for me. And God just really began to humble me. And I got back home, and it just seemed like literally overnight, God started making it very, very difficult. And I'd get up again and try again. And no matter how smooth I was in an appointment, he just wasn't bringing it. And he began to really show me something that he wanted out of my life. And I don't think that I started out really desiring that he get the glory from what I was doing and in my life. And this truth just came, he really affected my heart with it, that he just was not going to share star position. And I had to decide whether I was going to live for his glory or if this was going to be some outworking of my own insecurity. And that's what it was for me. And I think that's what we want sometimes in our Christian life. We want people to notice us a certain way. We want success. And we've really got to identify what's going on in our hearts. Is it because we really want God to receive glory through our lives? If it's not, just realize he's not going to share that with us. It belongs to him. He deserves it. And if you disbelieve me, he began a process of breaking me of that. And I can remember just this time I just got so frustrated with it. And things weren't working. And I just had a week where I didn't really work. And I had one appointment set up with this stranger that I vaguely knew. And the thoughts that were going through my mind is, nothing's going to come of this. One of the things that God really laid on my heart during that time was that I really wasn't trusting him in my faults. And despite that, I was hitting a wall and I wasn't looking or appearing to be very good at this anymore. That I would still just try to get up, and despite whether I had a day or 2 days where I didn't do very much because I was in the dumps, that I would just get up again and try to trust his mercy one more day. And I mainly did that because of a verse in Jeremiah that says his mercies are fresh every day. And I just had this week where this happened, and all I had was this one appointment with this stranger. And as I was going to it, I was just breaking down with God in my car. It was in Roanoke. And I was just saying, God, I hate this. I'm not good at this. I can't do this. And I went to this appointment, and I mean, there was no way I could hide how I was feeling. You don't want to go in just bummed out to a support-raising appointment. You know, hey, support us, but life just sucks. You know? But that's how it was. And I couldn't... I mean, I laugh with this guy now because it couldn't be hidden. And you know what was cool? Is by the end of it, he decided to support. And he's one of my strongest partner now. He gives well over $100 a month, every month, and he's very faithful. But we're friends. And part of the motivation there was I just wanted to get up and say, God, somehow, some way, through all this, I just want to see your glory. And it was cool. After that, I really began to see God wanted to receive glory through this. And I kind of started getting pumped up about it, that I didn't have to have my act together all that great, and I didn't have to come off impressive to people, but that God was going to really receive glory through this time that I was going through. And now it's just kind of one of the things I really love. I actually really love support raising because it's just cool to see what God does. And if you think God will not intentionally try to break you of self-sufficiency, I encourage you to read Judges 7. You know what happened in Judges 7 is God intentionally sized down his people who were about to go into battle from 30,000 warriors to 300. I don't know but about you, but if I was in the army looking at my other 299 comrades and we were going up an army, I mean, just umpteen times the size. Boy, that'd be pretty scary, huh? But God did it, and you know why he did it? He says this. Where am I? If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. God does not want to share a star quarterback position with us. And in that period of time that I had in ministry, God was preparing me. Because one of the lessons that I have learned in ministry is that you just got to start being at a place where you're okay with not getting much glory. And that's been something like in the past year, I've just done some things for people, and I it's been kind of an emotional hardship for me because I've noticed that I sometimes don't even get thanked. And sometimes, you know, you just got to sit down and kind of bear your heart about that. But at the same time, you got to be okay that you did it and God will have, you know, it was for His glory. And I love the way my friend puts it. Do you know what a grinder is in the sport of basketball? You ever heard that term? But he says, you know, if you want to live for the kingdom of God, you just kind of got to be okay with being a grinder. And the grinder isn't the star. He's just that guy. You know that guy? Have you ever played on like a sports team? That guy who just comes in and day out and does his job. And he's okay with not receiving much glory, but he does it for the greater good. And I love the way he put that, because for me, that's really what it is a lot. We got to just get to that place where we got to be okay with that. Why do I say that? Paul says the same thing in Philippians. And I just want to read this verse to you. Now I'm almost done here. What does Paul say? What does he say? You're wondering. Where am I? Okay. What verse was I looking for? Oh, I wrote it down somewhere, but you can see that. Oh, there it is. Okay. Philippians 4:13. Oh, no, that's not it. Don't go to that one. Where was I, man? Okay. Here it is. Okay. Philippians 2:17. And, you know, it's Paul in prison and dealing with hardship. And you have the Philippians who are just kind of worried about the outcome of his suffering. And there the very real reality that he may die there in prison. And listen to what Paul says. I mean, this is crazy. But even if my life is to be poured out like a drink offering, to complete the sacrifice of your faithful service, and he paraphrases, that is, if I am to die for you, I will rejoice. And I want to share my joy with all of you. And you should be happy about this and rejoice with me. And he said that because the glory just did not belong to him. It belonged to God, and you just got to kind of be okay that even if our life is poured out, that's okay. Do you get it? Okay. Hopefully. But I want to share one last thought with you about why dependence with God. And it's because God wants to be enough when we go without. And I mentioned some of the things that I mentioned to you because really at some point and at some time in your life, you're going to be in need. And it might be loneliness. You may not be married or with someone significant in the time frame you thought. And that's going to be something God allowed to be withheld from you. Maybe it's health. I've endured that one just recently, over the last year. These are all things. I'd like you to think about what it is in your life that you go without. But the greater question is when we are without, is God satisfying enough? Because I think sometimes we automatically go to that one question, God, why? Why do you do this to me? But I think one of the things that we have hope in is that wouldn't it be cool if when we are without, that God is enough. Wouldn't that be all that we really need? Would we really need an explanation saying why we're going through what we're going through? wouldn't it be enough to know that God is enough? And that's something God has really, really just laid on my heart recently about ministry for me. I just have really struggled with not having the kind of success I thought through my life here at Radford I should have in ministry. And it's something for at least now God is withholding from my life. And I hate it. A lot of days I hate it. Especially because I'm a very driven person and I gotta see it. I gotta see fruit, God. And at least for now, it's something that I don't have. And I've really wrestled with God about this. And it could be all kinds of reasons. I think one of the reasons might be that I just wouldn't be able to handle it. It would get to my head. And God is divinely just putting that boundary in my life because he knows I just can't handle it. But I don't know. I don't know the explanation, but what I do know is it's enough for me to know that God is enough, that he can satisfy. And lately, I've God's really reworked my idea of success. And I had this soul group, and I just want to tell you about this. And I started out, some of you are in soul groups here. It's awesome. I encourage you to get in one. But I had a tough one. And I think I was really ambitious with it. And I was really struggling that it kind of fell apart. And so I led a failed soul group here. And praise God. But God really began to lay on my heart that I was judging my success by the fruit. And he just laid on my heart that that wasn't right. But actually the things that I did, I think he wanted me to know that I did what he asked me to do. And following him was enough. And I just had to be okay with that. And one of the things with my soul group, God, I think just was laying on my heart that I would try to lead one where I could help develop leaders. And I think God laid on my heart that the people that were in there, just it's not what they wanted. They didn't want to be leaders. And it wasn't because like I wasn't good enough. And I had to be okay with that. Just following God, that's the definition of success. Despite the fruit that comes from our lives, that's how he sees it. And we got to be okay with that. And I just want to give you guys some verses to take with you when you are without. Because you know what we tend to do is we tend to sin when God withholds. We tend to try to take things in our own lives and step outside of God's will. And what do I mean? I've seen so many people who love God and they get involved relational with someone who doesn't, and even get married. And I know they at least expressed to me at some point in time that that's not what they wanted, but they did it anyway. Because they couldn't handle the loneliness that God was withholding something from them for a period of time. And so this is serious to us. And we've got to know that God is enough at times like that. And it will involve sometimes daily dependence. And I want to just, it's the secret that Paul learned and the secret God wants us to learn. Let's look at a couple of verses here and then I'll finish. Philippians 4:13. I have learned this. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And here's the secret. For I can do everything with the help of Christ who gives me the strength that I need. And it's that idea that we can be content with God being satisfying and enough for our lives. The other thing I think sometimes that we do is we think we have a right to certain things that honestly, like, we just don't. They're graces that God gives us. And I think sometimes that can help us through God not being enough because we think, well, I have a right to certain things. And so I'm going to take them. And I think one of the things that we have to remember is that it is God's love in it. And God wants us to know his love through times like that. And I, like I said, I can't explain to you why these certain things happen. And you probably won't be able to explain them either. But you need something to stand on in confidence through them. And that's God's love. And that's the question we get into, is God's love when we go through times like that. And but the thing is God has already demonstrated his love extremely to us through Christ. And God says in Romans 5, Romans 5, that God demonstrated his great love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And what that means is that when we were so undeserving, God demonstrated his love for us through Christ. And so when we go through that times of doubt with God's love for us, when we go without, we've got to remember that he gave his son for us. And I don't know about you guys, I cannot imagine letting Ethan die for a wrong that you did. I just could not imagine the love that it takes to do that. And that's what we have. God wants to remind us of that. The other thing I want to just help you with is remembering that God doesn't withhold anything that's good for our lives. Psalms 84 says, "The Lord withholds no good thing." And if what you think you need at the time, you don't have, God knows what he's doing. And it must not be very good for your life right now, if you think that's what we need. And what I want you to do is, I really, really do want you to, if nothing else today, place these verses kind of in your heart. Because I know you're going through things like that. And the Bible says in Psalms that David said, "I have placed your word in my heart so that I might not sin." And I think so much so we sin because we take into our life things we think we need when God is withholding that place and time. So that's just what I wanted to share with you. I want to share with you a story as I wrap up here. And this story just reminds me of where God wants us to be with him. It's a story of a missionary dad and his kids. And this really happened. And he was on furlough, and so he was coming back to the States. And he loved to work with his hands, and they had some family out by this lake. And there was a really long pier, and his kids were playing on the end of the pier, and he was off in his garage, in a garage working with his hands, and he just heard this loud cry from his older daughter, who was watching his youngest 2-year-old. And he just dropped everything and darted out to the cry. And if you don't know this, that's what dads do. That's what God does. My son, this past week, I was working in my living room really late at night, and it was like 1-ish. Ethan just let out this loud scream. And before I knew it, I was up the stairs and hardly being able to breathe because, you respond to it when your kids cry. And that's what this dad did, because that's what dads do. And he saw that his kid had fallen in the water, his youngest kid, his 2-year-old, and he knew that his kid couldn't swim. And so he just jumped in after him, and he gasped for air, and he went down, and the water was murky, and he couldn't find him the first time. And I don't know with the story whether he came up for air 2 or 3 times, but on his last time, he gasped for air and went back down one more time. And this time he went closer to one of those pier braces. I don't know what you call them, the things that hold the pier up. And his kid was just sitting there on the bottom of the water, not fighting for his life. And he grabbed him and he rushed him to the surface and he took him back to the pier and laid him down. He said, "Son, why weren't you fighting for your life?" And he said, "Dad, I knew you'd come for me." And that's what God wants us to know. That's what dads do when we're drowning and we cannot swim. That he comes for us. He wants us to live in that confidence. And I think sometimes we become that kid who thinks that when we can't swim, we really can. And we try and we try and we try. But it's some things are reserved for God alone. And do you know that the Bible says in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God without faith, without dependence on Him. It's absolutely impossible to please Him. And I don't know if you came here today and this was just another attempt to get right with God. I think what He wants you to hear is that we can't good behavior fix our lives. It takes dependence. We can't suddenly become right with God. It also says in God's word that our faith is what makes us righteous. Our belief and our dependence in Him. And so just as you kind of think about this year and as we're going about this year, that's something I'd really like you to do differently. That maybe you would just take this verse to heart, that it is absolutely impossible for me to walk out of here and please God without faith. And faith means dependence on Him. And did you know this? That the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to us. And we think the things that we read about in Scripture that we want to see happen in our lives, and maybe we see happen in other people's lives, and we think, God, why is that not happening? And I think a lot of times it's because we're so self-sufficient and dependent on our own strength. And we need to put our trust in God's power. That same power that raised Christ from the dead manifested in our life. And we always quote that scripture in Galatians that said, the fruit of the Spirit is this, this, and this, right? And what do we say when we mean that? Well, I got to be that. And I'm going to do all these things to be that. Well, we forget what it says. It says that He, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, available to us, living in our lives, God's power in us, He will produce this kind of fruit in us. And sometimes God just wants us on our knees, dependent on Him, to do the very thing we think should be happening in our lives. And I think a lot of times we just make this thing out to be more consistent devotions, right? Well, I was more consistent with my devotional life this month than I was last, so I'm doing good. No. And I think God will frustrate that. I think that you will try and you will try and you will not hear God's voice because your dependence and your motive is in your own strength. He wants when you go out to meet with Him, He wants you to really fully rely on His strength to speak to your heart. I'm convinced that God can't even use the Bible without His strength coming through in our lives to speak to us from His Word. And He actually says that in Corinthians. I just want you guys to really think about doing that this year. Okay? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank You for this time. God, I really and truly just ask that kind of God that we all could help each other do this, Lord. And I don't know. I just think about that one thing maybe You want us to hear. And I think something that has spoken to me through just preparing and trying to rely on You to speak. I love that you see us with Your heart, God, that You look through our faults and our weaknesses and You see our needs, God. And sometimes I feel like such a faulted person because I didn't do this and this and this like I should have. But God, what we really need is You in our lives. And I pray for myself and I pray for everyone here, God, that we would see You in our lives because you truly have done something great, and we believed you for it. And it just had very little to do with us relying on dealing with our lives and our own abilities and strengths. Your son's name, I pray. Amen.